because it happened, and the scriptures tell us that it happened, and it's miraculous. And for the Christian, it has utterly changed our lives. Hymn writer Charles Wesley penned these words in 1739 that speak to what has occurred with Christ rising from the dead. He says, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Earth and heaven in chorus say, raise your joys and triumphs high, seeing ye heavens and earth reply." Some of you might recognize these lyrics as a song that every line would repeat with a alleluia. I'm not going to say it every time, and I certainly won't sing it. But we'll continue. It says, "Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle is won. Death in vain forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise. Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died our souls to save. Where thy victory, O grave? Soar we now where Christ hath led, following our exalted head. Made like him, and like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Hail, the Lord of earth and heaven. Praise to thee by both be given. Thee we greet, triumphant now. Hail the resurrection, thou. King of glory, soul of bliss, everlasting life is this. Thee to know, thy power to prove, thus to sing, and thus to love. Our King has been raised from the dead, triumphant, and where he goes, those who are in him are sure to follow." This morning, as we look at the message, we will see it is looking at the beatific vision, or the person of Christ, and the idea that we as God's people will see him as he is. There are incredible contrasts in this story and all throughout life. Contrasts like night and day, chocolate and vanilla, hot or cold, wet or dry, left or right, up or down, introverted or extroverted, happy or sad, north or south, sit or stand. We can do this all day long. And dead or alive. All contrasts. Exact opposite, polar extreme. And yet, none of those contrasts I read, or maybe that we can think of, would seem quite so extreme. Because of the nature of it and the eternal ramifications of it all, then the death of Jesus Christ, and 3 days later, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His humiliation to his exaltation. Death in the grave and descending into hell, to then being raised to life and exalted in heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Incredible contrasts. Paul shows this somewhat rapid and extreme movement in Philippians chapter 2, and one of the greatest passages on the person and work of Jesus Christ. This passage was thought to be a hymn in the early church, and Paul writes in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he, Jesus, was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself even more than he already has by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Did you see all that of that contrast of where we begin and where we end? Emptied to exalted, buried to every knee bowing before him, ridiculed on the cross to confessing that he is Lord. Such a stark contrast. The 19th century English preacher Charles Spurgeon shows this contrast with two verses from songs. The one, looking at his death and humiliation, says, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" To his exaltation, where Spurgeon recounts these lyrics, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." On Friday night, I said I wanted you to have a vision of death. Not the most enjoyable thing to think about, not the most kid-friendly thing to discuss. My hope was that you would be reminded of the countless deaths of animals that we looked at in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, the correlation to Jesus being called the Lamb that was slain. We would see death as bloody, gory, something we turn our face from. And the contrast to this morning, as we remember the resurrection of Jesus, that he did not stay dead, that he was raised from the dead. And now this morning, instead of a vision of death, to get a vision of the glorious face of Jesus Christ. No longer an image of one who has been badly beaten and bruised. No longer one who hangs on a cross crying out in agony. No longer one who is suffering in the garden, sweating drops of blood and being portrayed, betrayed by a close friend, abandoned by all those who are around him. No longer those images, but an image of the victorious, celebrated, exalted, and reigning Christ. No more the dark sky in the middle of the day when Christ died, but early morning, bright with a sunrise. No more the gloom and despair the disciples felt as their Lord was killed. But now the joy and exuberance that they run to go and tell the others. No guards telling them that Jesus of Nazareth is dead. No Jesus crying out, "It is finished," from the cross. But instead, two angels in an open tomb saying that he is not here, for he is risen. I was just reading this morning an introduction to a service order, and it said, "Nowhere in human history have the words 'Jesus is not here' ever been encouraging to anyone, except on that day and in that place. We normally would like to think that God is, and he is, always with us. And yet on that morning, how sweet for the scriptures to say, he is not here. He is risen, just as he said he would be. No more bloodied and bruised, disfigured beyond recognition, but now standing with Mary in the garden, speaking her name, the risen, healed, glorious Christ. This morning, that is all we will seek to do, to see the glorious Christ. In years past, on this day, we've walked through the gospel accounts of the resurrection. We've looked at 1 Corinthians 15 several times, reasoning of the resurrection, historical proofs of why Jesus had to be resurrected. Those who saw him, as you heard read this morning, 500 witnessed in his disciples his resurrection. But this morning, this year, I was so struck with the idea of seeing Jesus as he is, our resurrected and glorious King, that let's just take a few minutes to linger there. A few months back, I was reading a collection of sermons by Charles Spurgeon, a preacher in England. I mentioned him just a few minutes ago. In one sermon, he took a phrase from 1 John chapter 3, and he broke it down over the course of a sermon, just one phrase. And this morning, I want to do the same. Obviously, I'm not reading or repeating his sermon. Everything else will be my own, and I'll only quote him one time, I promise. Most of the points are completely different, but it was so good and so helpful. Again, just to have, instead of the image that we have from Good Friday, to have the image of the glorious Christ who now is standing in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for Christians on their behalf. Let us see him. John writes in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. They put him to death. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. We shall see Jesus as he is. Spurgeon writes this in his sermon, "The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. We shall see the hand and the nail prints too," he says, "but not the nail. It has been once drawn out and forever. We shall see his side and its pierced wound too, but the blood shall not issue from it. We shall see him not with a peasant's garb around him, but with the empire of the universe upon his shoulders. We shall see him not with a reed in his hand, but grasping a golden scepter. We shall see him not as mocked and spit upon and insulted, not bone of our bone in all of our agonies, afflictions, and distresses, but we shall see him exalted. No longer Christ the man of sorrows, the acquaintance of grief, but Christ the man God, radiant with splendor, effulgent with light, clothed with rainbows, girded with clouds, wrapped in lightnings, crowned with stars, the sun beneath his feet. Oh, glorious vision! How can we guess what he is? What words can't tell us? Or how can we speak thereof? Yet whatever he is, with all his splendor unveiled, all his glories unclouded, and himself unclothed, we shall see him as he is. Let's break that down. Four different things we'll look at. Number one, first point, is real simple. It's two letters, we. Yeah, I'll repeat it again for you. We. Point number one, you and I will see Jesus face to face and not be terrified or bowing because we have to, but we will see him because we are his people. We are Christians. If we have come to faith in Jesus alone for salvation, we are those who have done what he has asked to be with him for all of eternity. We, not just me and not just you, but we shall see him. What is it that Jesus requires of us to see him? Well, John writes a couple of times in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. And a few verses later, 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. If you're sitting here in the room this morning and you're saying, I don't know if I'm going to see Jesus face to face, and if I did, I think I would be terrified, and I think I would tremble with fear because of all that I have done. I don't know how I could appease the wrath of God that is towards my sin. But John writes this morning, and he tells you, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life for you this morning. Those who have believed in Jesus alone for salvation will see the resurrected Christ as he is. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, then we will get to see him. Those who love him will. Those who know they have been loved by God and who know that we love others because God has first loved us. Sometimes we might look at 1 John 3:23, and you might have heard it when I read it, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as though that's another command, something we have to obey, and that our salvation is by works. I thought it was just in faith. Well, the one who truly believes that Jesus is the Son of God will do what Jesus asks of us willingly. And John writes later that we will love others because we have been loved by God. Believe in the name of Jesus, and you will see him. Along with all of those other genuine Christians who have repented of their sins and believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will truly love God because they have been loved by God and they will see him one day. Not just me and not just you who get to see him, but us. We shall see him. Those you are now worshiping with, those you who sometimes can drive you crazy, those in your family, those in your church family, those who go to another church and genuinely believe in Jesus, they will see him as well. Because the kingdom of God is far bigger than Liberty Bible Church. It includes all Christians of all time who have ever believed in Jesus from all ages throughout history. We shall see him together. What a kind gift that God gives to us that we are not alone, that we don't go and see Jesus by ourselves. While there would be no fear of that, how kind to have brothers and sisters where the text says we will see him as he is. Brothers and sisters right there with him, getting a glimpse, seeing Jesus face to face. So Christians, rejoice that there will come a day where we will see him. And be kind to one another, because those you are with right now that you can see face to face will be those who will be with you when you see Jesus face to face. We, first point. Second, shall see. It's going to be this simple the rest of the time, okay? We shall see. We will see Jesus. There's a confident assurance. We will. Not that we may see him as he is, but we shall. It's done. When Jesus rose from the dead, he assured our rising from the dead as well. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. When Jesus returns for his bride, the church, to make all things right, then we will be raised imperishable with him. We will be changed, given bodies that cannot perish or decay, but glorious bodies made just like his glorious body. And we will see him as he is. We will. How wonderful for us to be able to rest in this future hope. How wonderful that it is sure and real. We won't see him like he's in a dream, a blurry image that we're trying to bring into focus, something that's far off, and man, if I only had my glasses on, or if I only had better eyesight, Lord, I'd be able to see. No, not because of that. It will not be different from everyone else. We won't be wondering if everyone else got to see him, but we will see him, to look upon his glorious face. In the Old Testament, believers were afraid to look at God, afraid that they wouldn't live if they did. No one can see me and live, it is said, but we will see him in the flesh. We will see the victorious, resurrected, reigning Christ. As a child, did you ever go on a field trip to a planetarium? Yeah, a big place where you get to go see, and there's a telescope in there, and you get to learn about the planets and all these things. And if it's a field trip with your school, then often they've worked with other schools, and so there's 18,000 children all at the same time, and all the buses lining the parking lot, and you get 0.3 seconds to look in the telescope. Parents, teachers are ushering you past. As you walk past and you get your glimpse in the telescope that costs more money than you can imagine, everybody out, did you see it? Did you see it? Did I see what? I saw black. That's all I saw. I can't look through a telescope to save my life sometimes. So I'm just looking going, I don't know if I looked in the right hole. It was big and there's a lot of things going on. And you're pushing me past so fast because there's so many of us. What was I supposed to see? But here John is, as we're lingering, brothers and sisters, we have all of eternity. And we will see him. We will see him as he is, unveiled, unhindered, no need for a telescope or binoculars, face to face. We will see Jesus. For those who are in Christ, you will, with other brothers and sisters, see the resurrected Christ. You will be able to describe him to someone. Just like if you meet a celebrity or someone that you look up to and you know publicly, you watch him play a sport, you see this person in films, and if you see them in person, you can tell people, I saw this person. Did you know how tall they are? Did you know that this person likes to wear these types of shoes or suits or clothes? Did you know they signed my bulletin or my paper or bulletin, like you're going to ask somebody famous at church? But they signed my thing, my papers, ticket, hat, jersey. Did you know their signature looks like this? Did you know that they put a Bible verse with their signature? Did you know he puts his number with his name? Familiarity, because you got to see someone a little bit closer. And yet all of that is just merely temporary. Another person just like you and I. But when we look at the resurrected Christ, we're looking at one out of all of us, one who is not like you and is in the same way, have a glorious body. But this resurrected Christ, we can see him because he rose from the dead. If he had stayed dead, we could hear all the stories that we wanted about him. We could read all the books that told us about what he looked like or all the things that he did. We could read the Bible over and over again and be like, I think I got a pretty good idea of the type of guy Jesus was. But if he would have stayed dead, nobody now could actually see him. But because Jesus has raised from the dead, the text says, John writes, we will see him. We all get to see him. No one better than another. No one does and another person doesn't. We will see him. And what shall we see when we see him? Well, that's the third point. We shall see him. Revelation chapter 1, John writing in another book. Revelation chapter 1, John is given a vision of what is to come, of the things that have happened and will come to place. And John is in this space, and this vision is going to be given to him. And beginning in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 1, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Can you imagine having someone tell you that? I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. John sees the risen Christ. He sees the glorious Son of Man in all of his splendor. He'll see him several times throughout this vision. We read Revelation 5 on Friday night of seeing a lamb that was slain. He calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and just after that, the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world, and everyone bowing to him, declaring that he, the resurrected Jesus, is worthy. We will see Christ. We will see lots of things. So much of our speculation about heaven and what awaits us is about all of the other things than him. John Piper one time said, if you can think of all of the amazing things you're going to do in heaven, of all of the, no more tears, nobody's going to die, nobody's going to sin anymore, streets of gold and all these things, it's going to be wonderful, feasting, marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be eating and celebrating and wonderful party. He said, if you can think of all these wonderful things about heaven and Jesus isn't in it, then you might not be going there. He actually says, then you're probably not going there. I was trying to soften the blow a little bit. The whole point is that we see the resurrected Christ. With him comes immeasurable blessings that cannot even be written in the scriptures. Now, we would get lost in all of the things that it would tell us about it, but we see the resurrected Christ. He is the one. He's the reason we're there. He's the reason that we can even be in his presence because of all the work that he has done on our behalf. We see Christ, the conquering one. Revelation 17 says, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We will see the conquering Lamb. We will see him. Number four, as he is. Not as he was, but as he is now. He was exalted before he was humiliated. And he's exalted once more. We will see him as he is now. When he came to earth and was, the text says, humiliated, came in the incarnation as a man, he took on a body, remained fully God, and became fully man. And sometimes we can think that when he ascended back into heaven, he took his state that he was in prior to his coming down and becoming man. But the real sacrifice that Jesus gives is that when he comes down and he takes on flesh to become man, he remains in that state forever. So when we go to heaven and we will see him as he is, we see the man God, Jesus. We see the God-man in perfect form, the conquering Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who is described here multiple places in Revelation. We see the exalted and resurrected Christ. There will come a day where we as God's people will see him face to face as he is now. No longer a body that was killed, a body living on borrowed time, you might say, a body that has pains, a knee that gives out here and there, a back that kills you after a hard day's work. The resurrected Christ has a glorious and perfected body that will be his forever, and we will see him as he is. He is the conquering King, the suffering servant, the Creator God, the Lamb that was slain, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, exalted to the Father's right hand, King of kings and Lord of lords, and we will see him just as he is. No show, no costume, nothing fake or false about him. What we see is who he genuinely is, who he is and will be forever and ever. Revelation 22, the Bible ends in this way. Then the angel showed to me, this is still John's vision that he sees of what is to come. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. We don't want to miss that. You don't want to be in hell because you never believed the gospel. You always thought there'll be more time. I'll change my life later. I'll take care of this another time. I'm just a kid. I'm young. I've got a long life ahead of me. I'll get serious later. You don't want to be in hell because you never believed the gospel, that Jesus came and died for your sins, and you refuse to believe that message. And forever you will wish that you could see him. Forever you will wish you could see him as he is and not be terrified and not look away guilty because of your sins have never been taken care of. You never believed. To look on him who took away your sins, to rejoice at seeing him, will not be a privilege for those who are separated from God for all of eternity. Those in hell, if they can see Jesus somehow, will tremble at his sight. And forever and ever, we imagine, would live in regret that they are suffering for all of eternity, not enjoying the presence of God and seeing him as he is. John 20. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. What I have given to you, I have written. Why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So let us look to Jesus. Find ways, Christian, to remind ourselves throughout the week of who we are in Christ, why we do what we do, not because we go to a service once a week in this building, but because of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, that he rose from the dead, that we will see him as he is for all of eternity if we are his people. And let us rejoice in that. And let that hope of seeing him for all of eternity as he is continue to spur us on in this life to believe, to grow in our faith, to love those who are around us, to do what God has called us to do. And for someone who says, I'm in here and I have never believed in Jesus, I've never believed the gospel, then this morning is your day. This morning God has you here in this room for a very specific reason, and that is so that you could hear it and no longer have the excuse. I never heard the gospel. You did. On March 31st, 2024, you heard the gospel. Brother or sister, what are you doing with it? Will you believe it? Will you believe what God says about himself? Will you see him as he is for all of eternity? Look to Jesus now and live. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, this morning, we come so joyful, so much celebration because of the very fact that we're reminded this Sunday, as we are hopefully every single Sunday of the year, that you did not stay in the grave, but that you rose victorious over sin and death. And you are alive now and forever will be in heaven, interceding now on our behalf when we sin to bring us before the Father. But this morning especially, we remember the resurrection of Jesus. And Father, we are so grateful for it. Our eternal life, our happiness now, our joy now in the midst of suffering and difficulty, all of those things rely upon the sure hope, the solid truth that Jesus rose from the dead. Father, I pray that this morning you would continue to encourage your people with a vision of the glorious Christ. And Father, this morning we pray also that you would convict those who will be your people, that they need to believe, that they have tried their way for so many years, and that, Father, all that they have garnered from that is a need to repent. Repent of sins and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Because right now they desire to see only what they want and not to see him. We pray that you would transform their hearts even now, this morning, that they would come to put their faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Not in themselves, recognizing they are a sinner and they need Christ to save them. He is a good and glorious Savior, one who has, the only one who ever has, defeated death and is now risen and reigning in heaven. And let us put our faith and trust in him. Father, we look forward to seeing Christ as he is, being in your presence for all of eternity. We pray this as we worship and continue to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.